All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, grace, your compassion. We thank you for the love of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Today, Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. Lord, we praise you. We magnify you, and we glorify your name, Lord, because, God, you are good, and your mercy endure forever. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. We thank you for him being our comforter, being our counselor. We thank you, Lord God, for the gifts of healing. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of healing, Lord God, driving out the spirit of infirmity, sickness, and disease in the name of Yeshua, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the yoke-breaking anointing to break the yoke of oppression and depression and frustration in the name of Yeshua. And I pray, Lord God, that your people be delivered and set free from every yoke of oppression. Lord, let them be free. Let them be free. Let them be free in the name of Yeshua. God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your compassion, Lord. And I acknowledge that you're God, and beside you there is no other, and that you are the Holy One of Israel. And we give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor, Lord. We thank you and we bless you and we praise your most holy name. I thank you, Father, that you've given us this opportunity to praise you, to worship you, to magnify your name. We thank you, Lord God, for every blessing that you've brought into our life. We thank you for life. We thank you for help. We thank you for strength today, Lord, and we bless you and we praise you. And Lord, you are good and your mercy endure forever. And Lord, we take authority and we bind the strong man of sickness and disease. We bind the spirit of perversion. We bind the spirit of mind control that is blinding people's minds from hearing, receiving the gospel. May people's hearts be open to hear and receive the gospel in a way that they've never heard before. I pray, Lord God, that your anointing would rest upon the listeners that are listening today, Lord God, that you would bring them into that place of praise and worship and prayer and intercession in Yeshua's mighty name. I thank you, Lord God, for healing every spirit of sickness and disease and infirmity. I thank you, Lord God, for lung cancer being healed. I thank you for liver cancer being healed. Lord God, I thank you for kidney cancer being healed right now in the name of Yeshua. I thank you for cancer of the esophagus being healed right now in the name of Yeshua. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for that breakthrough coming forth. I thank you for the financial miracle manifesting that the individual needs, the financial miracle. Let it manifest in the earthly realm in the name of Yeshua. God, I thank you for that brand new home, that family walking into that brand new home in the name of Yeshua. God, I thank you, Lord God, for open doors and great opportunities in Yeshua's mighty name. And Father, I just pray for the people of this city, of this region, Lord God. Lord, open up their eyes that they might see, and open up their hearts that they might hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking and saying, Lord God. Bring them out of their bondages, Lord God. Release your warring angels over this area to bind the strong men over this area that has hindered people from receiving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, break the power of addiction. Those that are bound by drugs, God, let them be free and set free in the name of Yeshua. Now, Father, I pray that your blessing would be upon this teaching today. And Lord, I vow to give you all the glory and all the honor in the precious and the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome straight from his word. It's a blessing to meet you once again to share the word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God. I am always grateful and thankful for the privilege and the opportunity that he allows me to speak to God's people. To the first time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From His Word. I'm not the typical radio preacher. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. My little disclaimer, if you struggle with something I say, pray, get on your knees, seek the face of God, and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you. Saints, as you always and know, I'm going to say we're living in the last days. Perilous times are here. The return of Yeshua, the Lord, is imminent. We got to get closer, Lord. We got to draw closer to him. We got to press our way into the kingdom of God. No matter what the enemy is throwing at you, you got to continue to be steadfast, continue to give him praise, continue to give him glory, and to give him honor. Because you know what? The enemy does not want the people of God to walk in a relationship with the Father. He will do everything he can to cause a breach between you and Father God. And that's why we're in this series called Choose Whom You Will Serve. Joshua had the, as he was talking to the nation of the Israel after they had went into the promised land and conquered the promised land. And he was getting ready to go off the scene. And he had to tell the people of God that they had to make a decision. You know, if you're going to be the people of God, you got to make a decision. You know, either you're going to live for him or you're not going to live for him. And then when you're born again into the kingdom of God, we have to make a decision to come out from the world. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, one of the things that has always caused a breach between God and his chosen people is the spirit of idolatry, idol worship. And we've been dealing with this and talking about this. We've been in First Kings, and we were talking about how that Solomon opened the door for idolatry. It started with him marrying Pharaoh's daughter, and then he had all of them wives and all of those concubines. And when the scripture says that when he was old, his heart turned away from serving the Lord, because, you know, and he even began to build these high places for his wives to go and worship, and he was even participating in that worship. We need to recognize, understand that we serve a holy God, and some activities that we cannot participate in, you know, and when we participate in various activities, we open the doors in the spiritual realm to demonic activity to come into our lives, to attack our families and different things like that. You know, a lot of preachers don't want to talk about this element, particularly on the radio, when you're dealing with the generational sins, generational curses, when you're involved in the occult. And participating in those things and horoscopes and Ouija boards and different things like that. And it is just so much, Saints. It is so much. The enemy has inundated us with so much in the world to where we get caught up. And a lot of times we might have participated in something when we were children. We didn't know any better, which it gives the enemy legal rights, because the enemy operates on legal rights. You know, God has spiritual laws in his kingdom. Satan knows them better than anybody, because he was the anointed cherub that covered. So he knows exactly what would cause a breach between us and God. And this was a problem with the nation of Israel, that when they came out, they were in Egypt, they were in bondage, they were in captivity, they were exposed to all of the paganism, all of the idol worship, and all of those things, and the graven images, and all of those things. They were exposed to that. And they saw it as the norm, that even when God brought them out, they were still caught up in that stuff. That's what they were familiar with. And so that's why we preach the gospel of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, that people might come out of that they might recognize that we're called to be different. God calls us out of that stuff. He calls us out of those lifestyles, because anything that's going to create a breach between you and Father God, the Holy Spirit is going to deal with you. And he's going to want you to release it, and he's going to want you to let that go. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 11, we've talked about this in several broadcasts. And but then, you know, when God gets ready to bring chastisement and judgment, he brings it. And he was angry with Solomon, as you know. And let's see, where am I going to pick up here? And I was thinking, man, we've been in Kings for a minute here. And we're going to go into, and we talked about how that God stirred up the adversaries. And you've heard me say sometimes that a lot of times if people are walking in rebellion and disobedient, and we think it's a spiritual warfare, sometimes it's God that has stirred up the adversaries because of our willful rebellion, our willful disobedience. And we need to be able to go before the Lord in humility and say, okay, Lord, did I open the door, God? Is it something that I've done? That's what I do personally. So I'm like, okay, Lord, so okay, is this your hand against me, Lord? People don't understand that. I'm going to say something. Sometimes any and everything that God has created is his servant. And even in when you study in the Gospels, even on the night of Jesus' betrayal, when Satan entered into Judas, Jesus said, go, do what you got to do. God, Jesus was still in control. So sometimes, you know, Satan does God's bidding, because he's God's instruments of chastisement and judgment. A lot of people don't want to recognize it, don't want to understand that, but he gives the enemy legal right. He talks about also in the scripture that when you have unforgiveness in your heart, that people are giving over to the tormentors, which are demons, and realizing the fact that a lot of people are tormented because they have unforgiveness and bitterness in heart towards somebody who has hurt them, betrayed them, lied on them, or whatever the case might be. So if you are experiencing those type of things, you got to get before the Lord. Okay, Lord, show me where this unforgiveness is. Lord, show me where this bitterness is. Lord, reveal this to me, that I might walk in liberty and freedom, God, because I do not want anything to interfere with my relationship and my walk with you. Well, as a result of this, Solomon and his disobedience and his idol worship and building all of these temples and things was why God stripped him of the kingdom. And in verse number 26, We're in 1 Kings, verse number 26. You listen straight from his word. It says, "And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment, and he was on him, and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, 'Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I'm going to give 10 tribes to thee.'" You know, man, when God has a design purpose, and God taps you for a divine assignment, that is a privilege and that is an honor. And God saw Jeroboam. God said, "Okay, I'm going to give 10 kingdoms to you. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because they have for..." Now look at this. This is why there's always a consequence for our sin and our rebellion and our disobedience, specifically when God has given us specific instructions about a certain thing. He says, "Because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did David his father." You know, when God came down and when God brought them out of the land of Egypt, God came down on Mount Sinai and he met with the children of Israel and God gave them the Ten Commandments in person. God gave it to them. They had an audience with the Almighty God, and God gave it to them. He said, "Look, let me tell you something. This is who I am, and y'all can't be living and walking in this." And he gave them the commandments, and recognizing that because of the leadership and the king, Solomon opened the door. And then he says, "Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him a prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes." You saints, when I read it, I think about it and I contemplate this. There is a place that you can get in God to where you can love God so much that you don't want to do anything to offend God, to hurt God, or to cause a breach between you and God. And David had a heart after the Lord. And David's main transgression against the Lord was when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, but then he conspired and had her husband killed, Uriah the Hittite. But recognizing that when you read and study in Psalm 51, you see the heart cry of somebody who was so in love with God that he was more concerned about losing the presence of God than anything else. And I'm praying that we get to the place in the body of Christ that every believer will get to the place where they are concerned that their decisions or their things may cause a breach between them and God. And I believe in a lot of cases we live in a society that we are so comfortable and we've been taught that we just do whatever you want. God's going to, have mercy on you. And you're just going to just live. You can just live like a hellion. You're going to be fine. You know, you don't need to confess to the enemy. You don't need to repent. You're fine because you made a profession of faith at one point, sometime in past, in the future. But the God that we serve is a righteous God. And he has made a provision in his gospel that when he sent his son to die for us on the cross at Calvary, we were redeemed from the power of the enemy. The power of sin was broken over our lives. And we have access to God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the blood of Yeshua. So we have this access. And it's about getting to that place of where, you know what, God, teach me how to love you. Lord, give me to the place, Lord, where I fall in love with you all over again. And that's a daily walk. It seemed David developed this relationship with the Lord when he was out there in the sheep before he became king. You see, sometimes being alone is a good thing because it allows you to build your relationship with God the Father. You begin to
communicate with him, pray and talk to him, have fellowship with him. And then when God elevates you to your status or the next position in life, you're prepared that no matter what the enemy throws at you, you're not going to be shaken. David had a heart after God. He had a love for God. But Solomon, because even though God had blessed him and selected him, Solomon allowed the enemy to come in and to put all of these women in front of him to where he lost his focus and he got caught up. And when you get caught up, you're in trouble. And his heart was not perfect toward the Lord as David was his father. And because of this, because of David's testimony and David's relationship with God, God said, I'm going to have mercy on Solomon. And you see, that's why, saints, you have to set an example before your children. And they see how you're living, how you're rolling, how your walk is with the Lord. Because there come a time to where that you have to set an example so that they want to follow in your footsteps. You know, something that's really amazing is that a lot of times when we look at our children and children of our society today, their heroes and the people that they admire and look up to are not their parents. It's some movie star, some football player, basketball player, some singer, different things. They look to those individuals as being role models instead of looking at their parents as their mother and their father and saying, you know what? I got a good mom. I got a good dad. Yeah, they got it going on. They have a relationship with the Lord. And I think that'll preach right there. You know, what type of example have we set for our children in the times that we're living? You know, that one right there, that'll preach. You know, and I think about, you know, I've been blessed. All of my children are born again, spirit-filled, saved believers. They love the Lord. They walk with the Lord. And I think they kind of look at me just a little bit and say, yeah, my pops, my daddy, he's all right. He okay. You know, he a man of faith. I think I've done enough to where they look at me and say, yeah, he has a heart after the Lord, which I'm grateful and thankful for. But I'm sure there's so much more that I can do and should be able to do because I've made so many mistakes in my life and my walk, even serving the Lord. I've made so many mistakes, but my desire is to be an example to where my children and my grandchildren will have a desire to serve the Lord and to walk with the Lord. I'm blessed, and I say I'm blessed, you know, because I can honestly say that my children and my grandchildren, their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have all made a profession of faith in Christ at a young age, and they all are walking and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm blessed when I think about that. That's one of the greatest blessings that you can have. And we know that David loved Solomon and they had a special relationship. And you can see that relationship when you read the Proverbs that Solomon wrote, the type of relationship that David had with his father. That Solomon had with his father David, as well as his mother Bathsheba. That's when you start reading in those Proverbs. It comes out particularly in the early Proverbs. But recognizing that because we serve a God of the heart, God knows exactly where we're at in our relationship and that walk with him. Then as a pastor and as a teacher, when I was pastoring, I always wanted to know, what is the pulse of my congregation? Where are my people at spiritually in their relationship and their walk with the Lord? They were just not a number. They were just not a tithe or an offering, but they were individuals that I genuinely cared about. You know, are you okay? Are you pursuing and seeking God? Are you reading your word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in the word? You know, I was concerned about their spiritual well-being. I wanted them to walk and experience the presence of God as I experienced the presence of God. And I pray that this becomes a heart cry of every pastor, that they want their people to experience the presence of God, to have an encounter with God. And because we had a dynamic ministry of deliverance and healings and miracles and things like that, the people were excited to come and to experience those things, but I wanted them to experience it and learn how to get in the presence of God and develop that relationship with him, because God is all about relationship. Something that we have missed in a lot of the faith teaching and things is that You have to have a relationship with the Lord God Almighty. He said in his word, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. There was an abiding that requires us as believers every single day that we have this abiding relationship in Christ, that we're pursuing him. We take time to spend with him. We talk to him. And when we're in a situation, we cry out to him. Many believers, they have them foxhole prayers that when there's a crisis, that's when they really begin to cry out and say, oh God, help us, help us, help us. But they've not built the foundation of prayer, praise, and worship in pursuing and seeking him on a daily basis. And then they go to the milk-warm churches where they're preaching the man-centered gospels and not recognizing that it's all about being in relationship with him. You see, when Yeshua came and died for us on the cross at Calvary, it not only was to redeem us from the hand of the enemy and to break the power of sin, but it opened up the door for us to have a relationship with Father God, the creator of the universe. That's why I tell believers and young believers, get in the gospel and study the gospel of John, because the gospel of John reveals the Father heart of God. And when you can identify and recognize the Father heart of God and recognizing how much God loves us as his people, your life will change, because many people have suffered rejection from their earthly fathers and their earthly mothers and siblings and have had failed relationships and all of these things. But when you can grasp how much God loves us, that God was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son, that we might live, that we would not die and we would not perish in eternity, it shows you and demonstrates how far God will go, that God will offer a sacrifice. The most precious and the valuable thing to any parent should be their children. Yeah, yeah. And he offered his very best for us. You see, Jesus died. Yeshua died for us that we might live and live life abundantly, to be free. It says that by his stripes we are healed. So then we got to begin to embrace and walk in the healing element of that. And so we have to begin to say, you know what, Lord, I got to do better. Lord, I need to be in a place that I can be an example and a role model for my children, that they would look at me and see that, yes, I am a man of faith. Yes, I'm a woman of faith. Yes, I'm a man of God. Yes, I'm a daughter of God. Yes, God is my source. Yes, God is my healer. Yes, God is my deliverer. And get to that place to where we exhibit that on a regular basis. And then as your children and your grandchildren see that, then they begin to emulate who you are. And they begin to say, well, how did you get this type of anointing on your life? And how do you pray? And how do you see God? And how do I handle this? You know, me and my son Joseph, we have these conversations. He'll ask me, say, well, Dad, how do you handle this? And how do you handle this type of spiritual warfare and things like that? And just realizing the fact that, you know, that he's pursuing and praying and seeking the Lord to the place to where God is using him in a great and a mighty way. But we got to get into the place, saints, to where we'll yield it, surrendered and submitted to seek after him and have a heart after God. Because you know what? God loves you and God wants you to be whole. God wants you to be delivered. God wants you to be free. God wants to invite you into his presence to where you would experience his presence and his power as never before. That's why the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, the enemy always wants us to believe that God doesn't love us, that God doesn't accept us. No matter how bad you've been, no matter how many mistakes that you've made, God has made a provision through Yeshua the Messiah to say, you know what? Come to him, confess and yield to him and allow him to be Lord over your life. Saints, I can't finish this today. Be praying for me here at Straight Word Christian Ministries. I need your prayers. Please be praying for me. I need your financial support. The Spirit of God moves on you to bless us. Please be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God and pray for your family members and your loved ones, that their hearts will be open to hear and to receive the gospel and know that Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is Lord. His return is imminent. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As you do so, the Lord will bless you and prosper. I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington, 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.